This podcast is brought to you with limited interruption by Rudy Luther Toyota. Whether looking for an exciting brand new Toyota, a certified pre-owned vehicle, or getting quality routine maintenance and service for your vehicle, Rudy Luther Toyota is the place to go. Rudy Luther Toyota, the southeast corner of 394 and 169 in Golden Valley. Subscribe to the podcast Beyond Politics. They host some of the biggest names and smartest minds. Beyond Politics is from a former Democratic congressman who helped ignite Barack Obama's campaign and a former campaign manager and political columnist. They go beyond the usual chatter on politics, news, science, and books. It's politics and everything beyond. On Beyond Politics, subscribe wherever you get your podcast. Broadcasting live on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota and Minneapolis, St. Paul, and in the evenings on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday. That's Matt. It's a super Wednesday. Matt Patrick here today. Hopefully Cliff Schechter going to be joining us here in just a few moments. I tell you what, interesting night last night. We'll get to a lot of that there, but I got to bring up something. Apparently, The Bachelor. All right, you know what The Bachelor is, right there, Patrick?
Yeah.
All right. Apparently, The Bachelor has one of the final contestants is this woman from Becker, Minnesota, which is a small town up in the kind of north central part of the state, and she basically is. She's gotten to the point where she takes the Bachelor up to Becker, and I can only imagine. I've been up in Becker. I mean, there's now if the guy's like a big Trump guy, I think that's good. If he's a big Trump guy, I can buy that. I'd be really concerned if he wasn't, and taking him up there because they have those houses where there's 500 different flags coming on in. And of all Trump and all that good stuff. And I don't know if I was the Bachelor, a contestant on The Bachelor, I don't know if I would want him to see all that. I think I might stay in the metro area and just kind of go with that, just as the option. Apparently, she got another rose, so she's into the final three. We'll have to, maybe he wants to become a Christmas tree farmer. I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a legitimate business. I know. Cliff Schechter, would you want to become a Christmas tree farmer in Becker, Minnesota?
It's better than the profession I chose to go into. So, I mean, certainly, it's a more honorable one, and there are fewer seditionists in it, probably. So, I mean, sure, I'm good.
The trees don't do Twitter drive-bys.
No, they don't. So I'll apologize to start off this interview because the idiot I am, I didn't plug in my really good camera enough and the battery died.
Oh.
So here we are back to old-fashioned using the computer camera, and I hope my sound isn't too echoey, but
no worries,
we'll survive.
You got to remember, I'm wash and wear, I'm slack or casual, so you and I are fine. Of course, Cliff Schechter, the Blue Amp channel on YouTube, and it is exceptional, and I can't recommend it enough. I'll link to it a little bit later on. If you're not subscribed, you need to be subscribed. How many subscribers are you at right now?
To say, man, we're about to hit 38,000.
Wow.
No, 37,000. Sorry. Okay. We have grown in the last 3 weeks. And this is my theory is we started putting up one Matt McNeil clip a week. And we've grown 4,100 subscribers in 3 weeks. We're starting to hit our stride. We've had two videos that have gone to about 150,000 views. We did one on Lindsey Graham being Lindsey Graham, and that one's at 360,000. I never knew that many people wanted to see Lindsey Graham. But we've had a bunch of others that have hit 20 or 40. We're really, like, I think we've got our stride. We know our audience. We know what they want. We know kind of, you know, like, I've got a great editor who's from Minneapolis. You should get together with him. And we're doing our thing. So I'm really excited about it. Really
Shout out to Casey there.
At C. Schechter if you want to come. Join the party. Everybody else is subscribing. Come on.
And yes, you do get to go to the Freak Show Wing of the Midway. That's the Matt McNeil portion of the Blue Am channel. You're more than welcome to head over there and see that.
Matt, in all seriousness, I'm sorry. I will cut you off and say that your commentaries are exceptional.
Thank you, sir.
And we also need them because I think you've got a terrific perspective coming from the background of somebody who is somebody who actually, you know, who's in the Midwest. I mean, I know I am too, but I still grew up on, you know, in New York and everything. You grew up in the Midwest, you attend church, you do all these things that Republicans sort of extol, but then don't do themselves. You know, mm-hmm. they claim that are the things that they respect and love while they're with their third mistress, you know, like Newt Gingrich or whatever, and while they're trying to overthrow our government. So and tell people who they should hate, as opposed to, I went to an Episcopalian school for 10 years, and I don't remember those parts in the Bible about hate. I remember all the stuff that Jesus said about loving everybody, and I'm not even a Christian, and I know that. I just think your perspective of somebody who's liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call yourself, who is somebody who cares about other people and is Christian and follows the actual message, is something people need to hear. So thank you.
I appreciate it. I take a lot of inspiration from John Fugelsang, who you and I both know, and he's fantastic on that. Plus, as well, I mean, as a veteran, I don't take crap. A U.S. Army, go Army. So it's a privilege to be part of Blue Amp Channel. Absolutely, it is. So
as a veteran, can I ask you a question for one?
Sure.
I mean, I did some, you know, what you call public service. I've worked for some state and county, whatever organizations. I did actually do stuff for the State Department where I traveled abroad. Yeah. Nothing close, nothing comparable to your military service. When you see these guys reject their oath to the Constitution, when you see them, veterans especially, showing up on January 6th, supporting Trump, coming out and voting for Trump in some of these numbers, because a lot of them, sadly, Republicans, a lot of veterans have left the party, but there are still plenty there. Like, how do you feel? How do they do that? How do they square that with any oath they ever took to this country? I don't understand.
I think it's a change in the military. I mean, it really is. I'm so disappointed in some of these people. And I think it goes back to the Swift voting. When that happened, when you actually took veterans and used them particularly with point and purpose to attack another veteran, a decorated war hero in John Kerry, it started tearing down that thing. And it became one of those things was, we love veterans as long as you extol the Republican point of view. Down in Texas, they just had that member of the Texas Guard who falls under Department of Defense rules show up for the campaign rally for Trump. That's a huge no-no. You're not supposed
illegal.
To do that. Yeah, you're not
Nothing
supposed
happen,
to do that.
You know, yeah. If Merrick Garland, you know, in front of him, he'll prosecute in 2058 probably. But like, you know, that's the thing. Like, I mean, it's the point you're making, though, is those guardrails. Those little things, like I think about the Hatch Act and how many times Kellyanne Conway and people like them, when they were actually there working for the president, got on TV and made political statements. You know, when you start breaking those things down, those are important rules, separating military from politics, separating government workers from politics. These are the things that stop you from becoming the Soviet state, where everything is the party. Mm-hmm. And these are the things Republicans have worked to break down. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because We you know, a lot of this stuff has been done by Donald Trump. A lot of it has been done by Mitch McConnell in more recent figures. But we can't forget what George W. Bush's team did in 2004. That was them. They broke that wall down.
Yeah, they did. And I remember distinctly with Bush that there is one. The military is fantastic. You tell them to jump, they say how high. You know, that's what they do. The one thing you do not do is send them into combat under false pretenses. And that's exactly what you did. You ended up with thousands of dead American soldiers, tens of thousands of permanently wounded American soldiers. And you did this not because there was a justification. Iraq did not attack us on 9/11. You did this because you wanted to take the Iraqi oil and try to kill OPEC. And you did it under false pretenses. And as a veteran, I was so upset about that. But remember, that was in 2004, that whole thing. It was, you know, veterans for W. That was their whole thing. They knew what they had done to the military, and yet then still had the audacity to go on out there and act as if they were on the side of the military.
The guy who not only was like bones for McGee here, Trump, but that's one of the ways Bush may have actually been worse than Trump. He didn't even show up for his National Guard. Like, as we know, like he made it into the National Guard and then didn't even bother to show up for some of it. I mean, just
photo day. He was there for photo day. That was nice.
It's always photo day is important. He was there for photo day in his cheerleading outfit at Yale or Harvard or whatever, too. That was a very sexy picture. But otherwise, no, not there.
We've got to get to last night. Once again, there's a very big math problem for Donald Trump, and he doesn't seem to understand it as he's still attacking Nikki Haley supporters today and the state of Vermont. Overall, your thoughts, particularly with the Republicans?
I was going to say, it's the old, like that old saying, right? When FDR beat Alf Landon, as goes Maine, so goes Vermont, because those are the only two states Alf Landon won. I think Nikki Haley should have stayed in. She'd been like, as goes Vermont, so goes the rest of the country. Yeah. She should have kept fighting on. The funniest thing was is when everybody pretends that Donald Trump has the emotional, intellectual, any abilities to be an actual non-toddler. And so she gets up and gives this speech and she won't endorse Trump, which I got to say,
yeah,
probably sent the ketchup flying off the walls down to DEFCON 2 at Mar-a-Lago. But the thing is in the end, she didn't endorse him, but then she, gives the statement, and I get it, right? There's certain things you have to say in politics and they are traditions. And in that way, it was the right thing to say, but it's so funny. I don't know how you don't break out laughing saying when she's like, he's going to have to earn the support of independents and Republicans. This is the guy that the day before was saying, we don't need anybody who didn't vote for me. We don't want any moderate Republicans. Bird brain over there, as yes, he was calling her. Like, yeah, okay, that's the guy who's going to go and reach out to all the people who voted against him. He is what he is. He's the Jabberwocky we know. He's not going to change.
Well, he is. There is no doubt in my mind that right now he is livid about Vermont. He so wanted to say every 50 state. Now he can't do that. He's livid about Nikki Haley not endorsing him and bowing her on the knee. And this is going to be something, I think that's what you're seeing play out in his reaction. He should be trying to appeal to him. Biden today is appealing to Nikki Haley's voters.
Yes.
And he's doing a very good job of it while Trump is over there going, hey, losers, get on board. You can see his rage manifesting itself.
Well, I mean, that's the difference. And that's the thing that the media won't be honest about. Sane adult, toddler fighting over the swings at recess, mm-hmm. It's just that simple. He's so emotionally damaged in such serious ways. He cannot bring himself to him. It is a total rejection. It's narcissistic injury. It's embarrassment. These people didn't vote for me. And that is the mentality of people who become dictators because they hate everybody who does not support them and thinks that they deserve the worst fate in the world. Instead of saying, maybe there's a reason they didn't support me. And, it's not like every voter in Vermont who didn't vote for him came out and insulted him personally. They just didn't vote for him, but to him, that's what they did. So he cannot go and appeal to them. Now, and again, it doesn't matter in Vermont because Vermont isn't a state that matters. But again, you've seen in numerous of these states, one of them was crazy. Was it North Carolina where it's like 70% or something? Haley voters won't vote for him?
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's finish up that thought. When we take a break, we're going to come back. We'll go over that some more as well. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us here on a post-Super Tuesday Wednesday. It is the Matt McNeil Show. I don't know about you, but I feel good. I don't know about you. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Cliff Schechter, kind enough to join us today, 952-946-6205. Cliff, one of the things about yesterday, you're talking about Nikki Haley voters and will they actually go back and be part of the Trump, ticket? Will they endorse that? The reality is you look at state by state, in the really heavy red states yesterday, it was about a 16-17 point attrition, which is pretty standard. But the minute you got Virginia, Iowa, Massachusetts, Colorado, Utah was a huge problem for him, and he did lose Vermont fair and square. I mean, he still has this large portion of the Republican Party that is not embracing the pseudo incumbent as we've described him, and if he just loses 5-10% of the Republican vote, he's got no chance at winning come November.
Right. Exactly. I mean, and look, if you do the math on that, I think I did it on one of the earlier contests, was at South Carolina, where 59%, I think it was in the end, of Haley voters said they would not vote for Trump. And, you know, I assume that at least 10 to 20% of those will in the end. They'll go back and whatever. But if you just did some basic math, you could come to between 15 and 20% of them not voting for him. And, like, he's dead. I mean, if you think about the difference, you're no longer talking about Georgia and Arizona then. You're talking about Ohio, Florida, Texas, Iowa, the next level of, like, lean Republican swing states. Hell, maybe even Missouri's in play at that point. So, I mean, if that's accurate, if that is what happens, if Democrats turn out and there isn't too much, you know, of the infighting in the Democratic Party, and I do think some of the what's going on with Gaza and some other things, we will get past, because I think Joe Biden, you know, is a leader, and I think others will, he will speak to it, they will speak to it, that he's done the best he can do. He's not sitting there in the Middle East, you know. He's done what he can do as an American president in a very difficult situation. And maybe he'll be talking more about, like, a ridiculous economic record, from breaking stock market records to the lowest unemployment for the longest period of time that we've had in about 60, 70 years. Yeah. And, you know, prescription drug prices, Medicare being able to bulk negotiate. I know, I was just visiting my mom in Florida, down in Sarasota. And you know what? That's cheapened drug prices for seniors by 30, 40, often sometimes 50%. These things make a pretty big difference, I'll tell you. So, I mean, and then there's who's on the other side, Grandpa Crazy, you know? And so when Grandpa Munster comes out, that's too nice a name, because Grandpa Munster is kind of fun. But when I mean, when he comes out and he says, you know, and he says the stuff he says, and he's also, look, I mean, people, they can put it whatever way they want, and people can accuse me of being too mean or this or that, but with what they say about Biden, he's sundowning right now, Trump is. He's losing his mind, and he's doing it on stage. He, you know, he starts talking about stuff, and then he goes, you know, kind of, and doesn't finish a sentence. If you don't think that's going to continue to get worse.
No, you bring up, and how about the fact that so much of the media doesn't even talk about the fact that as you criticize Biden of, is he still competent at his age, you're allowing a guy to go on your own networks and say, boobity boop 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 boop, oh yes, Israel. You know, and you're like, okay, aren't you seeing this? This is, we've all had elderly relatives that start losing the cognitive ability. That's exactly what you're seeing with Trump.
Yeah, and the thing is that, look, I've, you know, said many times, I have no faith in mainstream media.
Yes.
I'm horrified and disgusted by them, and think that these are people, you know, and there's some amazing exceptions. I went on Monday a podcast with Brian Karam, who used to be, you know, for Playboy, was in the White House, you know, briefing room. The last one who was there for Playboy magazine used to shout out those questions to Trump and try to force him to answer even when Trump wouldn't. There are some terrific reporters, but the vast majority are careerists. They only give a damn about, they've in the both sides garbage. They only care about getting ratings. And this is what media has become. It's all, we're all one big version of the movie Network now. Yeah. They predicted us so perfectly. And it's so the end result is that I don't trust them. But the thing is that thankfully, Donald Trump really likes to talk. And so he will keep getting up and doing these things. And, you know, everybody's like, don't cover Trump. And I'm at this point, like, cover him everywhere.
Yeah.
Put him on every station. Invent new TV stations if you have to, just to put him on them. And let people see him, because, again, the people are picking up on this. You hear people who are Republicans talking about this. They don't have to have it explained to them by the media. As you said, we've all had relatives. We've all seen people like this. It's happening in front of your eyes, and you just need to see a couple of clips. I'm doing a weekly thing on my channel at this point. I mean, the last one was one of these with the videos that got about 150,000. I won't say the words and get you in trouble, but it was WTF did Trump say? And I was asking my audience to figure out what he said. We played this 30-second segment. You couldn't make heads or tails. It was like, hey, the lights above are so bright and the green and sometimes. And then also the Blue Jays are playing Minnesota. The Twins and also
Doublemint Gum.
That would be it. You'd be like, what did he just say?
Well, here's the thing. And you say this. I mean, in Missouri earlier, there was a caucus where someone supported Nikki Haley, and they literally feared for their lives because the rest of the people around them. I'll never forget a few years ago when Trump was in office, I had a Christmas get together with a neighbor who was an Iowa hog farmer. And remember, those tariffs wiped out their pork markets. And he looked at me with a straight face and said, yeah, I've lost all my markets, but I still stand by Trump. And I'm like, how can someone actually do damage to you on such a personal level, and yet you still blindly support him? That's the crazy part of his followers.
Well, yeah. And again, that's the core, right? And they're nuts, and they're going to be there no matter what. But luckily enough, even with Fox News, even with Sinclair, even with all the garbage propaganda of theirs, it's not enough. It's that, I've talked about it before, that 10, 12, 15% of people that can be reached. A lot of them maybe lean Republican, independents who lean Republican, or Republicans who have broken away. And you're seeing it. Again, you're there's not one of these. You know, it used to be like, oh, look, the New York suburbs, he's losing folks. And so a race like Swazi's race, where he wins, he's supposed to only win by 2 or 3 points and wins by 8. Yeah. Another, by the way, great job by the New York Times polls. But you know, you start seeing it in places like Jackson, Mississippi, and you start seeing it in you know, North Carolina and even more rural Virginia, not rural, but like Richmond, not Northern Virginia, the suburbs. Where in these more southern states, more conservative states, where he's now having suburban women run from him. And, you know, whether it's the E. Jean Carroll verdict, whether it's what the Alabama court did with in vitro fertilization, whether it's Dobbs, whether it's all of it and more, it's college educated folks in general, and even more specifically, suburban women, white women who are college educated, are just running from him. Yeah. And so if the Democrats can keep most of their coalition together, again, good luck. Mm-hmm. And I just think, again, the media doesn't have to sort of, in an ideal world, they would tell people what is exactly is going on without fear or favor. It wouldn't matter. They wouldn't care about party. They wouldn't care about gender. They would, you know, they would just tell you what's going on. Yeah. But we don't need them to, as you know, because he's showing everybody who he is.
And with that Mifepristone verdict comes down the wrong way, Republicans are going to have zero chance in November. And that's I could see that coming. No. Cliff, that's it goes quick, my friend. Once again, the Blue Amp channel on YouTube. If you are not subscribed, I'll put the link out there. See Schechter on YouTube. You can find it there. Cliff, as always, exceptional. Thank you very much for joining us on the Wednesday after Super Tuesday, my friend.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me on, man.
You take care. Let's take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Broadcasting in the evening on WCPT 820, Chicago's Progressive Talk, and in the afternoons on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show for your Wednesday, 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. The results from yesterday, one of the things which I thought was, okay, so yeah, let's talk about both sides here from yesterday. And I posted about this a little bit on social media. You look at some of these numbers, okay, you know, we all know that Donald Trump was going to be the winner. We all knew that. I guess maybe I'll start with the Democrats because, you know, one of the things that's interesting is that you've gotten, you know, there's a lot of people that are talking about Minnesota right now because uncommitted got 19% of the vote in Minnesota. And that's not great, but only insane people would be voting for would be uncommitted or voting for Trump or not voting for all in November, because if it is per se the way the Palestinians are being treated, which once again, I'm not exactly the happiest with them, but I still voted for Joe Biden. Why? Because you see who's on the other side of the aisle. And the Republicans have said they want to line up all the Palestinians and put a bullet in their head. And I know the snarky left will say, well, is it much different than Joe Biden? Yes. Yes, it is. It's a hell of a lot different. Don't at me, man. Do not at me. But the reality is you wanted to do your protest vote, fine. That still is 19%. That was the worst in the country against him. In states where he is liked, Arkansas, Trump lost 18% to Nikki Haley. And that's where he's liked. And Alabama, Tennessee, there it is, 20%. And more, you want to know how badly the media favors Trump in this country. This morning, I went to search for Joe Biden, you know, has a successful night. There was not a single national media outlet that had published a news story which was about Joe Biden by himself. There were tons about Trump by himself. Big night for Trump. Trump dominates. Trump wins. There were a lot of stories where Biden and Trump win. Trump and Biden win. Biden and Trump win. But there wasn't a single story published by the national media this morning that was just about Joe Biden, even when the same news outlet had put forward a Donald Trump had won new by himself news article. That's just stunning bias at this point. That is just stunning bias. And of course, this morning, pretty much every national newspaper had the uncommitted vote in Minneapolis. They were talking about it. But in Tennessee is going to go for Donald Trump 20%, even in a deep red state that basically Trump could treat like one of his first two wives, and they'd still vote for him. Basically 20%, more than what you got in Minnesota going to the uncommitted. Now, that was a red state. Virginia, you had 35% of the vote in Virginia. Did not go to Donald Trump. He got 63. So basically 67 or 37% of the vote in that state did not go for Donald Trump. Massachusetts, 40% of the vote in that state did not go for Donald Trump. In Maine, 27% of that vote did not go for Donald Trump. In Minnesota, 30% of the vote did not, actually 31% of the vote did not go to Donald Trump. Colorado, 63 to 33. So what is that? 37% of the vote did not go to Donald Trump. I mentioned Vermont. Vermont, he lost 50 to 46. Nikki Haley picked up all the delegates. That simple. And in Utah, this is the one. Utah is an interesting state. It is still reliably red. For God's sakes, they elected Mike Lee. But at the same time, they are not a big fan of someone who is basically a biblical villain. And that is Donald Trump. In Utah, 43% of the population of Utah did not vote for Donald Trump in the Republican primary. And sure, some of these primaries, they're open to both sides, but not all of them. It is stunning how badly he is basically, the attrition of his voting base. And as we were mentioning with Cliff, and by the way, just a quick side note, business note, obviously Jeff Stein not here. That's why Cliff Schechter was here with us today. Jeff had to take the week off, but I'm sure he's talking. He's got on his suspenders and he's stuck his thumbs under the suspenders and he's, let me tell you a spell about the Super Tuesday yesterday in some TV station in Iowa. That's my guess is what he's doing right now. He'll be back next week. But, this we were talking about with Cliff. He needs Nikki Haley's voters. He needs all of them. Reminder, he lost. He lost by quite a few votes. He needs to not only have Biden voters leave, he needs every Republican to show up. But he is so angry about Vermont, and he is so angry that Nikki Haley did not endorse him, that he can't help himself. You bunch of loser, stupid voter Republicans that didn't support me. We're going to purge you. We're going to run you out of the party. But remember to vote for me come the election. I'm your buddy. And the crazy part is I've already seen a few of the people in the Republican Party who see exactly who he is. And you want to know what brainwashing is? You can see how broken he is. You can see how broken the man is. And they're still like, well, I still can't. I, I'm
I'm still insistent on voting for him because, you know, I'd rather have the deranged, incoherent loon ball as opposed to Joe Biden. You know, he basically wants to have college kids get free college, for God's sakes. What kind of craziness is that? I'll go with the guy who's blabbering about the whale. Yeah, exactly. Nikki Haley and but let's go to the Nikki Haley thing. Former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley announced Wednesday she would be suspending her presidential campaign for her poor showing on Super Tuesday. I don't think it was that poor. I think he actually did much better than, once again, everyone knows it's Donald Trump, and he still could not close the deal with probably on average 27-28% of the Republican Party. And if just 5% of the Republican Party sits this election out or votes for Joe Biden, he has no chance at winning. And that Mifflin-Pristone Supreme Court ruling, if it comes down and that Supreme Court says birth control is no longer legal in the United States, it is going to be a bloodbath in regards to what happens to the Republicans across the board. There is nothing they can do to stop it. So, yeah. Nikki Haley from this morning. I am filled with gratitude at the outpouring of support we received across the great country, but the time has now come for me to suspend my campaign. Haley began on stage in her home state while congratulating the presumptive nominee, Trump. Haley stopped short of endorsing him. I have no regrets, she said, adding, although I will no longer be a candidate, I will not stop using my voice for the things I believe in. The first Republican to challenge Trump, Haley is now the last to drop out, having stayed in the race longer than Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie, and businessman Vivek Ramaswamy. The steady critic of the former president, Haley said it was time for him to earn the votes of those in our party beyond it who did not support him. Among the 15 states that held primaries on Tuesday, Haley came away winning only one, Vermont. Her victory there came as a surprise, but it still puts her very far from the number of delegates needed to seriously challenge Trump. Days earlier, she had won the Republican primary in Washington, D.C. I am already going to be glued to the TV when it's the Republican convention and the Vermont contingent goes up there and gives their votes to Nikki Haley. It is going to be must-see TV. My guess is going to be, is they're going to have security on the convention floor to prevent them from being ripped apart like it's a pack of freaking zombies. I am dead serious, too. That is going to be fascinating to watch. I mean, make sure you get ready for that. Because I would not be surprised if the Republican Party tried to turn off the cameras during that, because the last thing they want is basically seeing a bunch of the Republicans running down there to start pummeling the Vermont contingent. Trump relished Haley's losses, writing on Truth shortly before her announcement that she would like to invite all the Haley supporters to join the greatest movie in the history of our nation. He also did insult her greatly and insulted her voters greatly. Haley has attempted to distinguish herself as a candidate with her critique of both Trump and President Joe Biden over their age and abilities. She argued Trump was too decisive of a candidate to beat Biden in November and that the conservative voters wanted a real alternative on the ballot. She also tried staking out a more moderate position on abortion and the war in Ukraine than some of her Republican opponents. But she ultimately could not break Trump's grip on the Republican Party, which held even as former president refused to take the debate stage with any of his challengers. I think one of the things that we do not want to talk about the Republican Party, there was a guy in Tennessee who basically was asked, would you vote for Nikki Haley? He says, no, she's a chick. She's a woman. I'm not going to vote for her. And I'm not going to use the language he used. You can find the clip. It's out there. I have said this in regards to the state of Minnesota because Michelle Tafoya, who used to be the sideline reporter, I think it was for the Sunday night football games. She's a conservative. She's worked with Republican campaigns, and a lot of people have wondered if she was thinking about maybe running against Amy Klobuchar or something like this. And the thing I said at that point is, I just do not think where the Republican Party is today that they would, sure, for a
local state Senate race or a state House race, maybe, you know, a U.S. House seat. But in a lot of states, including in Minnesota, I don't think that there's enough Republicans who could get past the idea of a woman being there for one of the top seats. And, you know, we saw that in Tennessee with that guy who basically said, I can't vote for her because she's a woman. And I would say that that would be one of your biggest problems. I mean, in the state of Minnesota, during the 2022 election, by far the biggest threat to Governor Walz in his reelection campaign was a female Senator Benson, I think was she was a senator. She was by far the biggest threat. She could have actually, I think, done some damage. She had no chance. She had no chance because the Republican Party said, we're not going to have a chick on the ballot. Nope. You know? And so they wanted a governor candidate for that statewide race that was male. And they got rid of probably the most dangerous candidate that was in the field. So I think Nikki Haley has done a very good job of setting herself up for the primary choice in 2028, if we have elections again, you know, sure, for the Republicans. I still think one of the big unspoken problems with the Republican Party in the United States today is the idea that in a lot of places, the idea of a woman being on the top of the ticket or being a Senate candidate is just, it's a bridge too far for a lot of, especially rural white male Republicans. It just, we have to have that discussion. And like I said, it's one thing to look at me and say, oh, you're just making that up. I got a video I need to show you. So American Prosperity, the PAC associated with the Koch family, withdrew their support for Haley's campaign. It was over because of that. I just don't think she didn't want to be Marianne Williamson. She didn't want to be Moonbeam running town to town, hoping that she, you know, passing the hat to so she could get gas money to get to the next state. Interesting there. I'm going to talk more in the 4 o'clock hour about Biden, particularly because Dean Phillips, the Minnesota House rep, is now out of the race. I'll get to that as well with him. But I do want to say that if you are a Republican and you're out there and you're screaming to yourself, oh, this is great, you still have to figure out how you're going to get all those people over. And you want to know the truth? Threatening them, which is probably your first to go to in this case, that ain't going to work. So good luck. We'll take a break, come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show. It is the Matt McNeil Show on your Wednesday. Good to be with you. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. No, that is. It's, by the way, one thing that Cliff brought up about Trump and his just, you know, his blabberings, it's very telling that what you've got now is the Republicans, like on Newsmax and, AON and stuff like that, what they're doing is they're basically, as soon as that's over, the speech is over, they're coming on out there and they're did you see him out there pretending to be basically having mental issues just to troll the Democrats? That's literally what they're doing. They're acknowledging his mental decline by immediately implying the news, so-called news networks, are doing this to basically cover and say, oh, look, he's just trolling the Dems. Yeah, he's deteriorating, and he is deteriorating fast. That is a problem. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. I got to go to South Dakota because there is just an absolute scumball out there. Senator Tom Pischke is just, this guy is horrible, and he sounds like a big old racist, too. State senator has been banned from the House of Representatives. So the senator cannot go into the House in the South Dakota. He can't go into the floor or in lobby for the last week of the 2024 legislative session because of what he has done, which is pretty atrocious here. The
so what had happened, this has to do with of all things, a syrup bottle. Tom Pischke of Del Rapids, racist, was informed of the action on Monday in a letter from the Speaker of the House, Hugh Bartles, a Republican from Watertown. Pischke's action was a violation of decorum, Bartles said. Pischke placed a bottle of syrup on the Rapid City Republican representative, Kristen Conzett's desk, days after Conzett motioned to defeat a commemoration celebrating the late Nancy Green, whose likeness was used to create the Aunt Jemima advertising character, which was formerly used on syrup and other products. The commemoration was introduced by Rapid City Republican Representative Phil Jensen with co-sponsors Pischke and State Senator Jim Melhaff, a Republican from Pier. It stated in part that Nancy Green was a remarkable woman whose story had been sadly erased from politics by politics. However, some lawmakers saw the resolution as intentionally provocative. Basically, what it was is this is a case where the character was based on the idea of a slave woman. And so they took it down. And to basically, I guess, because the Republican Party right now is under the control of Twitter trolls. It really is. It is under that. We see it in this state. I saw ZZ Flop out there at the flag thing. My God. Wessenberg. These guys are absolute losers who basically are only concerned about the Twitter trolls and are they making the Twitter trolls happy. So these guys going out there, even though that they've retired the character because the character was based on racist imagery, they basically said, we need to salute the character just to kind of troll people because, once again, the Republican Party is controlled by Twitter trolls. Aunt Jemima brand was discontinued in 2021 in response to criticism from the character of a black woman perpetuated outdated and offensive portrayals of African Americans. In South Dakota, it only takes one lawmaker to table a commemoration. The House ban is an overreaction, Pischke said. And by the way, you see the video. You see him sneaking in, the little coward. Oh, Pischke, you're just such a little punk-ass coward. You are. You see him sneaking in there. You can see him giggling. I was simply giving a gift to my good friend, he told South Dakota Searchlight. Banning Pischke from the floor was the only recourse, Bartles told the South Dakota Searchlight. Decorum is probably one of the biggest rules in the House, and we try to enforce, and the Senate does it well. Everything decorum-wise matters with the legislator, whether it's the last day or the last 5 minutes. A member of the Senate leadership told South Dakota Searchlight there's no plan to punish Pischke in the Senate for being upset. I want to make sure he wanted to support a racist character. So say, I don't know if you remember, I grew up in the 70s, and in the 70s, there were still those lawn jockey concrete statues that were out in people's yards. I remember seeing them as a kid. They were pretty atrocious, and they're gone now. I mean, at least, you know, you don't see them in regular neighborhoods. But when I was a kid, you'd see those all the time. And it was a salute to racism. It was a salute to the day when the slaves were out there to help take care of the horses for people to come to the house. That's what they were for. We've grown somewhat smarter. Those have gone away. Great. Done. Imagine the guy they used as the model for that was in South Dakota. And even though what the entire purpose of it was a racist-toned attack, he says, we need to salute him because it's woke culture. Politics has taken away this great hero of ours. Yeah. Yeah. And then when someone says, wait a second here, all you're doing is you're pandering to Twitter trolls. What does Pischke do? He does exactly what Twitter trolls wanted him to do. To go over there and intimidate, taunt, scare, insult the House rep who basically said, no, this is just stupid. We're not going to do this. And I guarantee you, Pischke, the whiny little bitch, I said it. I mean you big dolt. I'll say it to your face too, punk.
I will. Well, I'll have to use single syllable words because you really are that stupid, you jackass. But he's now trying, he's scrambling back to his internet feed going, I got her, got the syrup, zinger. I'm mainly bringing this up because I want to make sure, here is just yet another example that the Republican Party, through Trump, through all of what they've gone through, has devolved down to the party of Twitter trolls. And that's all they are at this point. Keep it up, guys. Go Biden. Chicago, talk to you tomorrow. Minneapolis, St. Paul, hour two up next. Hour number two of the show here on your Wednesday. Good to be with you, Matt and Patrick. A lot to get through this hour. A lot of things we want to talk about today. I'll get to them here, but a reminder, it is Listener Appreciation Month here in AM 950, and we have a pair of tickets to go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical. This is over at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. It is a dinner and a show, two tickets for the month of March there. Of course, if you want to go catch this, it's going on right now, Tuesday through Sundays, over at Chanhassen Dinner Theater, a great theater over there. Tickets, we'll get you those tickets there, and you can enjoy that show. And my mom loved Carole King, and I grew up with Carole King, listening to the albums my mom had over and over and over again. So I'm going to go see it this Friday. I can't tell you how excited I am about that. Just really excited about that. But once again, listen for your chance. I got a pair of tickets for you to go see Beautiful, the Carole King musical over at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. That's sometime this hour. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. By the way, I guess I will mention this. Patrick, are you keeping up to date on the high school hockey tournament at all?
Yeah, I have. So both of the opening games were actually pretty similar in how they went. War Road and St. Cloud Cathedral were the favorites against War Road was playing New Ulm and St. Cloud Cathedral was playing Northfield. That the underdogs gave it a good go for the first period, but then the second and third periods were pretty lopsided.
The War Road guy, apparently one of the guys did one of those Michigan goals where the guy picked the puck up on the stick and wrapped it around and put it in the net. Is that true? It happened?
Yeah, I've been seeing that news report. I did not see it myself, but yeah, that's what my colleagues have been saying, and there are news reports about that, so that's pretty awesome.
It is like playoff central because we've got that's at the X, right? That's going on at the X.
Yes.
Okay. So you got that at the X. You've got at Target Center the Big Ten women's basketball tournament starting up today. Gophers play tonight at 8. They're not favored to go that deep. I mean, who is the injured player that we had for the women's team?
Braun.
Yeah, I think that's it. She was too important to the team. And yeah, we just don't. I mean, it would be, you know, God forbid if something bad happened to Caitlin Clark. I guarantee Iowa wouldn't last long. I mean, that team is Caitlin Clark and the rest. It's, you know, the Gilligan's Island opening. So yeah, that's going to be going on. So you know, I'm hoping they get at least one win here, kind of end their season on a little bit of a high note. The men play tonight, but they're not into the tournament. They play tonight, Indiana at the Barn. So that's huge. And that's that gets us to 19 wins. And once again, if you get one more win, either in that last game they play, I think at Northwestern, or in the first round of the Big Ten tournament, which would be they'd be the favored team, that gets you to 20 wins in the Big Ten. And I'm sorry, that would be a huge snub if they would not make. If you make 20 wins in a major conference, you should be getting into the tournament. I'm pretty sure of that. So we'll have to see what happens there. But needless to say, well, it's tourney-rific right now. Yesterday was once again an interesting day. In regards to the primaries, and I'm going to just focus now on Minnesota. Minnesota, once again, I mentioned this: 31% of the state's Republicans did not vote for Donald Trump yesterday. And it should be mentioned that the total vote for the Republicans, and I want to make sure I mention this because this is pretty funny. The total vote for the Republicans is 320,000. All right. The Democrats, Joe Biden, there wasn't really a competition against him. The total votes for the Democrats was 242,000 because there is not only 171,000 for Biden, but 46,000 who voted uncommitted, and Dean Phillips had 18. And so that's the end of that. So indeed, about 80,000 more people voted for Republicans in this year than they voted for Democrats in the primary. And you would be, I don't think you'd be surprised. I think you'd be pretty much, you expect what greeted me doesn't greet me on Facebook, doesn't greet me on Blue Sky, doesn't greet me on Mastodon, doesn't greet me on Threads. It is a petri dish of sewage water that is Twitter. X. You're not going to be, you should not be surprised what greeted me this morning. Will Matt, more people voted for Donald Trump and the Republicans than for the Democrats. Better get ready. It's going to be a landslide. Now, no, it's not. As a matter of fact, I want to go back to 2004 when we had primaries here in the state of Minnesota. Or excuse me, not primaries, caucuses. We caucused back then in 2004. That was, you had a Republican president in George W. Bush who was the incumbent. John Kerry was challenging him. The Democrats' total turnout for that caucus was, and reminder, caucuses are a lot less than primaries. It's because you have to go there and you're there for a little bit. I was there. I remember going and caucusing for that and for Kerry back then. The total turnout on the caucus night for Democrats was 54,931. Of that, 27,900 caucused for John Kerry at that point in 2004. W, the incumbent president, the Republicans, they think somewhere around 25,000 showed up in 2004 for W. So Kerry himself got far more votes than George W. Bush in Minnesota. And by Republican logic this morning, well, we obviously remember the first term of the John Kerry administration. Oh, that's right. He did not win in 2004. And the reason why is that the turnout for an incumbent is generally dramatically less than if there's a challenger. And granted, it's, and by the way, if you want something funny, this should be a huge red flag for the Republicans, because Trump is about, as we've talked about, he's as close to as an incumbent as you can get and not be an incumbent. He is the previous president. He's running again. There should be a level of incumbency with him. Instead, there is this, he's having to pull out everybody to get out to these primaries because there was a legitimate challenge to him that exposed a pretty big chasm within the Republican Party. 31% of the Republican Party in the state of Minnesota did not vote for Donald Trump. 31%. I guarantee you, not all those people are going to go into the Trump camp. I'm going to say more than you'd probably be comfortable with, but all it takes is basically 5% of the Republican Party either not voting, sitting the election out, or voting for Joe Biden, and you know, 4 more years. That's what you're looking at with Joe Biden. So I just wanted to bring that up. If you're like me and in the godforsaken cesspool that is Elon Musk's Twitter, if you had this morning, if you're going to win, you just let them know that no, pretty much every time an incumbent has run for their second term while in office, whether that is Barack Obama, because Donald Trump didn't get that many votes back then too, but he lost that election, so it's not a real fair comparison. But Obama, W, Clinton, Reagan, not many. I went back and looked at them. There definitely was. Didn't matter what party, Republican and Reagan and W, Democrats for Clinton and Obama, but in those cases, they were far much outdrawn by the other opposing side. So just going to diffuse that before, you know, I've already seen, look at all the mess. If the turnout stays the same, you think that in Minnesota, Trump's going to win? Wait till the Mifepristone ruling comes down and they ban birth control. You guys are going to, you're going to lose Tennessee and Arkansas in that case. Yeah, it's not going to go well for you. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Which brings me to the vote for the Democrats yesterday, the uncommitted side, which, you know, showed some power, at least here in the state of Minnesota. 19,000 people. All right, message sent. Because this is going nowhere. You do understand that, right? That your frustration with Joe Biden, and I brought this up last hour, you do realize this election is Biden v. Trump, right? And that if you let Trump in, and the Republicans who say they want to just line up every Palestinian and shoot them, that you're basically making sure a far worse outcome. Your protest of Joe Biden's handling of what's going on in the Middle East basically pushes you to a far worse scenario as the Republicans cackle and laugh in glee. Because this is it. And you can sit there and say all day long, well, we sent a message and he better do what we want to do. Let's say he doesn't. He continues with this policy. It still is a better policy, no matter what you want to say, no matter how much your pithy leftism states about this, about it's no worse than what the Republicans want to do. No, it's worse. Republicans have said they would line up the kids and put bullets in their heads. They have. They have. So I want to prep you for what is coming. Because you guys open this door and the Republicans are going to be desperate to keep that 19% out of the polls come November. You're probably already, if you're one of these people that's non-committed, you're already probably seeing a few friends on social media like, you know, we sent a message and Joe Biden better listen to us. And it's only going to be a matter of time before those mysterious new social media friends all of a sudden start saying, you know what? He still hasn't done enough for us. I'm going to stay with my uncommitted vote because I'm going to send a message. And they're going to hope they appeal to, if I may, the stupid, who basically are saying, even though I agree with Joe Biden on 70, 80, 90% of what he says and does, I'm going to basically ensure that the guy I agree with 1 or 2% of the time wins because they're hoping you're that stupid. And trust me, you opened this door. You're going to get inundated with, I'm a Biden supporter and he's let me down. And I'm going to just presume that some of you guys are just going to be like, yeah. Yeah. And God help you if you do, because I want to make sure you understand Donald Trump has said he wants to deport all Muslims. I know. Yeah. You say to yourself, that won't happen. Yeah. He'll try it. And I think he'll have enough Republicans to try to push it through. And he'll just declare a national emergency anyway and just say, I have the executive power to do it. And he's going to basically ignore Congress anyway and the Supreme Court. He's just going to do what he wants to do because he's a criminal that is looking at the White House as to his get out of jail free card. So you can sit there and you can sit and you can say smugly, we sent our message. And fine, yeah, you sent a message. Trump, you know, is giggling, laughing. Joe Biden still won and he won handily. But you're there with this idea that somehow, some way, you might be able to force a hand. The reality is this, I think Joe Biden is a better option when it comes to the Middle East than Donald Trump. And if you are too blinded by your hate and rage to understand that, then you do not have the ability in
2025, when Donald Trump says we're deporting all Muslims, even ones that have lived here for 100 years. And you say, wait a second, I didn't want that to happen. Oh, I didn't want that to happen. Well, yeah, I'm telling you right now, yes, you did. I'm telling you right now, yes, you did. If you sit out this election, yes, you did. You sit out this election, you don't vote for Joe Biden, because sometimes it's not just the person you're voting for, it's what you're making sure doesn't get into the White House. So when Donald Trump orders the U.S. military over to help kill all the Palestinians, and you sit there like, well, I didn't want that to happen. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. If you sit this election out. When Donald Trump comes in and says, you know all that money that Joe Biden gave you for your student loans? We're going to sue you and make you pay it back. And you sit there and you say, well, I didn't want that to happen. Yeah, you did. Yes, you did. When he starts deporting the Muslim population. I didn't want that to happen. Yes, you did. Yes, you did. Grow up. Yes, you did. Because you can only be, you can only play this game of chicken so freaking long. And you think that you're being clever and you think that you're being smart. Sure, you sent a nice little message. And maybe that does get some impact there. He does seem to have, since Michigan has softened some of his stances, and he does seem to be trying to really push for ceasefires and better situations for the Palestinians. But that aside, you see what the other side wants to do, and they're not hiding it. And no, it's not the same. So I'm not going to sit here and any longer entertain this, oh, hell, I guess people have this. No, you're a freaking moron if you do not vote for Joe Biden this election cycle. Your protest vote's over. Great. Fine. You're voting for Joe Biden. And when the Republicans send their fake trolls out there to try to convince you and spend all this money out there, you need to understand they're trying to convince you to take a bite of the crap sandwich. Yes, not many people are looking forward to the Arby's beef and cheddar, but the Arby's beef and cheddar is still food. And you're sitting there saying, maybe I do want to take a bite of the crab sandwich. Well, then stop acting surprised when your pettiness leads to disaster. And you start screaming, I didn't want that to happen. Yes, you did. Hold on, Jeff. I'll get your call after the break. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break, come back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff in Cambridge, you've been holding. I apologize. Welcome on into the show.
Yeah, Matt. So my wife and I were election judges last night up in the Cambridge area. And
by the way, thank you for that. By the way, Jeff, thank you very much for doing that. That's very nice of you.
Yeah. We've done it now for 3 or 4 cycles. But notice something interesting. Apparently, last election, there were 1,600 voters on the voting rolls, registered voters, and now it's a close to 1,000. We're in a township. We're not in Cambridge town. So we dropped 600 voters on the registered voter list. Now, what the rule is apparently is if you don't vote for 4 years, you get dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got an idea of what happened. You had Trump voters that voted for Trump in 2016. They didn't vote in 2020 because they didn't want Biden or Trump, and they were dropped from the rolls.
Or they basically didn't vote in 2020 because, oh, he was the incumbent. What's the point?
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
So now what I'm anticipating when we're at the general election, these people can re-register. But will they? Will they take the time to re-register? Because I could see where we would have a big lineup. You know, if another 600 voters, 30% of our voters are going to be re-registering, it'll be interesting to see. And it'll be interesting to see if they decide to vote. You know, if they couldn't vote for Trump before, will they vote for Trump this time?
You know, Jeff, if I can give you a little bit of advice, it might be worthwhile going to the city council or the chamber, whatever the case may be there, and bringing this point up and saying it might be worth our while to spend some money in advertising locally that make sure you're still re-registered, and just state the stat that you said. We had 1,600 people, but because people took off 2020 and weren't there, guess what? There's 600 people less. So if you want to make sure you're still registered to vote, it might be a good way to do that, because obviously you don't want to create a nightmare on the election day and obviously do a public service for the people.
Well, there's part of me that says, well, if I'm right and it's Trump voters, you know, I don't want to deny him the vote, but I don't need to make it easier either.
That's an interesting, I'm not going to disagree with you. Jeff, thank you very much, and I appreciate your help out there. But no, I think Cambridge might just be one of the many places is that if there are these people, this amount of people that have been purged off these voter rolls because they hadn't participated in a while, well, letting people know, you can. It's really easy to re-register. And you can re-register on election day. But it will back things up dramatically if that is the case. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Minnesota Representative Dean Phillips has ended his long shot presidential campaign on Wednesday and has endorsed President Joe Biden after losing in more than a dozen states and Democratic primary elections, including his home state. He got badly trounced. He got trounced by uncommitted. The third term Minnesota Congress, he did not win a single precinct in his former district. Not a single one. What are you thinking, man? The third term Minnesota Republican announced he would end his campaign Wednesday afternoon during an interview. He announced it came after he received just under 8% of the vote in Minnesota's Democratic primary election on Tuesday night, finishing a distant third behind Biden and uncommitted. Activists angry with Biden's handling of the Israeli-Hamas war urged Minnesotans to vote uncommitted in protest. I will say it was interesting. I saw multiple Republicans hoping that Dean Phillips would come on out and endorse Trump and endorse Republicans. And he's not doing that. At least at the very end, he seems to have come to his senses. Clearly and convincingly, Democratic primary voters have opined that I am not that guy. That's why today I'm going to suspend my campaign, and I will be right now endorsing President Biden because the choices are so clear. The alternative, Donald Trump, is a very dangerous man, he said. Most of Phillips' constituents in Minnesota West Suburban 3rd Congressional District voted for someone else on Tuesday. Phillips got about 14% of the vote in his congressional district, far behind Biden and just barely ahead of not uncommitted. Phillips was once considered a rising star in the Democratic Party. U.S. House Democrats elected him to a leadership position, gave him an influential say at their meetings. In Minnesota, some speculated he could one day run for governor or U.S. Senate, a notion Phillips shot down. The congressman openly admitted he torpedoed his promising political career by going against the incumbent president and the Democratic establishment. His campaign drew the ire of some of his constituents. Guilty as charged. A fellow elected Democrats in Minnesota, some of whom he feuded with publicly. I want to remind people, my beginning when I got frustrated with him was before the 2022 election, early in 2022, when he basically out of the blue came out and said, Joe Biden's too old. And I said, dude, what are you doing? Because now all you've done is you've made every Democrat in the state have to answer the question, well, Dean Phillips says Joe Biden's too old. Do you think Joe Biden's too old? Which almost immediately Governor Walz was asked that question. Almost immediately he was asked that question. And yeah. The Minnesota Democrat vowed to continue his campaign as long as he could, but he acknowledged the difficulty of doing that is he couldn't raise enough money. In mid-February, Phillips announced he had to lay off many of his campaign staff before losing Michigan's primary election on February 27th. He told the Star Tribune he was shifting to a volunteer-based campaign in Minnesota on Tuesday. Many of Phillips's congressional constituents chose not to vote for him. I will, first of all, if you were trying to do what Nikki Haley did. I think Nikki Haley has set herself as a viable option in 2028 if we are having elections in 2028, because if Trump wins, I don't think we're going to have them. I'm dead serious when I say that. I do not think they will have them. in 2028 if Donald Trump wins. Now, Joe Biden wins. Yay, go team, go. We have 2028 election. I think Nikki Haley has set herself up to be a viable option for the Republicans in that election cycle. Dean just, I think part of the problem with the Republicans and why they could not take out Trump is because they were so afraid to attack him early on in the primary and campaign season. They just didn't. It wasn't until later that you saw DeSantis and Haley really start trying to take pot shots. I mean, Christie was, but Christie had no chance because, he was considered a Democrat by most of the Republican Party. But the mistake they made was they were too light-handed with Trump at the beginning. And by the time they realized what the strategy was, because I'm going to tell you, if Nikki Haley had come out of the gate throwing haymakers, I guarantee you that she would probably still be in the race today. And I guarantee you she probably would have won more than a few states yesterday. I bet you Utah at least would have gone her way. And if that would have been the case, if she would have won two states yesterday, I don't think she's out of this. I think she's only out of this because she won only Vermont. Dean Phillips did the opposite thing. He came out way too aggressive against a fairly liked presidential candidate. Sure, he's an older man. Still's got my vote because he seems to be as sharp as, when it comes to politics, for God's sakes. He's absolutely trolled the Republicans and controlled the entire narrative. It'll be very interesting to see what happens tomorrow at the State of the Union speech. But he came out way too heavy-handed at the beginning. And then instead of saying, maybe I should tone down my attacks because I'm likely not going to win this, you have to understand the game you're playing. He instead started going, the Democrats hate me. The party's working against me. Of course they are. You're running against the incumbent who's liked. For goodness sakes, you can't expect the world to basically all of a sudden say, well, thank God that Dean Phillips is here, and that's what you did. And if you were a little bit softer handed and weren't such a jerk to everything, you might have set yourself up as a viable option in 2028. Instead, your political career is over at this point. It really is. I don't see anyone electing you to be dog catcher, let alone any kind of federal position. Not at all. 952-946-6205. Should we give away these tickets to the Carole King musical?
We can do it right now if you want.
Let's do it. I got beautiful. The Carole King musical is over at the Chanhassen Dinner Theater. I've got a pair of tickets to give away right now. This is dinner and a show. Hey, for two. I got a pair of tickets right now. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Caller number five. Caller number five, you will win the tickets to go see Beautiful Carole King Story over at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. Good luck. Caller number five, 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Patrick, who is our winner of those tickets to the musical?
Aaron in Norwood Young America. Congratulations. Ah. You are going to see Wonderful.
Oh, I like Norwood Young America. I've been over there a few times in the last few years. Aaron, congratulations. You get to go enjoy that show. Dinner and some tickets, and we'll give away another pair tomorrow and another pair coming up here on Friday. Reminder, another way for you to get registered for the Listener Appreciation Month stuff is to look at our Facebook page. Like the Facebook page, like a post there, make a comment on a post. You can also go over and do that at the email newsletter, which is on the website, which is am950radio.com. Sign up for that, and there's more ways there. We will do Wheel of Destiny on Monday on the show for more giveaways. But once again, Thursday, Friday, pairs of tickets to go see the Carole King musical. Beautiful over at Chanhassen Dinner Theater. So keep listening here. I want to give, this is an exceptional piece from the Racket guys that they put this out. And I'm glad they did this. This is going to talk about, there's a story that they put out talking about people that have moved to Minneapolis because of the anti-LGBTQ hate going on in other states. And they talked to three different people. I'm going to talk about two of them here and put some thoughts forward on why this freaking election matters. All right? Reading from the Racket article. If you spend any time in local online forums these days, you'll find queer and trans people wondering aloud about coming to Minnesota. I'm considering moving to Minneapolis or St. Paul, their post began, before outlining the specific circumstances. I have a trans daughter. I can't get gender-affirming care in my state. I live in Florida. I don't feel safe here. They ask about the best neighborhoods for queer families or advice for finding trans communities here or the severity of the winters. And I think I get a lot of that, too. I've been asked, how bad are the winters? Well, they can be cold. But the people here are warm, so come on up. Welcome, Minnesota's got where our arms are open. Welcome in. A record number of anti-LGBTQ plus bills, and at least 510 were introduced across the nation last year, according to the American Civil Liberties Union. So far this year, the ACLU is tracking 478 bills. And while Minnesota is not immune, with 13 such bills introduced in the legislature this session, it is relatively safe haven, especially after banning conversion therapies and establishing the state as a trans refugee state. It has never been entirely safe to be a queer or trans person in America, but some places are at least safer, especially when in the last few years and more states introduce and pass laws specifically targeting LGBTQ plus rights. What's it like when you actually uproot your life in pursuit of acceptance? The Racket sat down with three families who made a move to Minnesota. I'm going to talk about two of them. For years, Matthew and Jorge Giordani lived in the most comfortable life in the suburbs of Dallas, Texas. They had nice neighbors and a big family. The couple adopted five siblings, ages 1 through 12, in 2019, and community that included the same-sex couples they'd met through fostering. They'd recently moved to a larger house with a nicer lawn and better schools. It felt like starting fresh. We certainly lived in a big bubble, Jorge said. The Dallas area is pretty large, pretty diverse. It doesn't necessarily represent your stereotypical Texas values. Sure, there are small things. Kids would occasionally make comments. There is a friend who wasn't allowed to come to the house. An incident during a Spanish class trivia game played on smartphones where a few classmates used their usernames as variations of Gavin has two dads, nothing the Galdanis had felt they couldn't handle. But as the national socio-political climate shifted over the last few years, the changes felt especially pronounced in Texas. It just became a sign of pride to be hateful, to make all these public accusations on how you should only follow a certain lifestyle, Jorge said. During the 2023 session, the Texas legislature, filled with more than 100 anti-LGBTQ plus bills, more than a fifth of that kind of legislation nationwide, a version of Florida's infamous Don't Say Gay law, bathroom bills, House Bill 623, known as the Preservation of Sovereignty and Marriage Act, which would have prevented government employees from recognizing, granting, or enforcing same-sex marriage licenses. There was one where they made it so chaplains or priests from churches without credentials could become counselors at schools, Matthew said. That one passed, actually, adds Jorge. That really made me feel like we need to get out of here. Over time, the small things started to feel bigger. Taken individually, these were injustices they could stomach, but they added up to something seriously sinister. What about once concern about moving would disrupt the kids' lives became a nagging fear of what might happen if they had stayed. The Giordanis thought they could wait until their kids, at least the three eldest, were out of high school before fleeing the state. That started to feel too far away. It just got so extreme. We started thinking, what are we doing here, Jorge said. We're paying a lot of taxes to a system that doesn't want us. They initially considered a move to Washington State or to Colorado. They wanted an outdoor climate that was conducive to year-round activity and a political climate that was friendly to the LGBTQ plus families. Minneapolis kept coming up about how people were so happy and they'd fit. I was like, why are the people so happy there? Matthew laughs. Education, happiness, wellness, LGBTQ friendliness, all of these things and more. Minnesota ranks near the top, but it was the Twin Cities Queer Hockey Association that really sealed the deal. A few years ago, the couple had taken up hockey along with two of their sons. I'm like, I want to play gay hockey, Matthew recalls. That's outstanding. That is outstanding. And by the way, a big salute to the Twin Cities Career Hockey Association. Fantastic. They made the move to Wayzata last June and had their first queer hockey practice of the next month. They've been playing basically every week since, along with a number of other queer and trans transplants. Here's the good thing. My biggest regret is not doing it 20 years ago, said Matthew. Welcome. Glad you guys are here. Let us know about the hockey games. Maybe we'll go out there and see if we can get some crowd for you guys. But that's fantastic. It's tragic. It's fantastic you're here. It's horrible what you guys had to go through. And the description that they put forward, which I really want to focus on, is the fact that this didn't start, you know, all of a sudden, suddenly it just became gradually more and more, and it became a badge of honor in these states to be a bigot, to, in some cases, be racist. It became a badge of honor. It is somewhat scary. The second family, I'm not going to read the third family, but I got the second family. I wanted to mention this one too. In her Iowa community, Sherry Martin was on the board of the League of Women Voters and served on two school communities. She had just been asked to run for school board. She was also getting ready to run for chair of the Democratic Party. Moving on was not even on our radar, she says. But her son, Olive, who is trans, had been receiving gender-affirming care for about a year. A year and a half, when bills banning that type of care for people under the age of 18 started rearing their heads. She and her husband, Joshua, had been looking for places where they could continue his care, which is when they learned that their insurance would only cover gender-affirming care in the three nearby states and that were trying to ban it. When South Dakota passed a ban and then Nebraska got through, there was no way Iowa was not going to pass it, she said. It did last March, by the way. It was 3 weeks away from the election for me to start running as chair, and I had to talk to my husband and talk to our sons. The Martins moved to Minneapolis from Iowa this past summer, a transition that was in no way frictionless. We faced so much pushback when we decided to leave from people we thought would support us. Angry, Martin says. I was told, you have skin in this game. You need to stay here in Iowa and keep doing what you've been doing because you're fighting for other students. It was like people who didn't really understand that's life or death for my son. And I want to make sure I step back here because I've lived in Iowa twice. You are a generation away from fixing this right now because the Republican Party has taken over that state. And it's now a state of hate. It's now a state of bigotry. It's now a state of just crazy Republican things. I mean, I was reading about how their new education bills is absolutely just destroying small town schools. You guys in Iowa, you've danced with the devil and you decided to dance a lot. And so, yeah, you've created a really horrible existence for a lot of people. And it's not going to change overnight. That farmer I talked with Cliff about, the pork farmer, who basically watched as Donald Trump put tariffs on pork and they watched their entire international market disappear overnight, who was himself being bankrupted by Trump policies, kept saying, I think Trump's doing a great job. At what point do you realize Trump could come to their house and I've said this before, and I haven't said it in a while, but it's the same thing. That guy could walk into his house, see Donald Trump having sex with his wife, and basically the first words out of his mouth would be, damn Democrats! That's who they are. Don't criticize this family for leaving. I get it. You're looking for inspiration. But whether it's because the Democratic Party in Iowa was just so poorly run or just the wave of change happened so dramatically that you need to step back and realize that they had to do what they had to do because it doesn't do them any good to sacrifice their child for their cause. So I stand by the decision 100%. Olive had come out as gay in third grade. He told his parents he was trans the following year. for his 12th birthday, Sherry and Joshua surprised him with a court order legally changing his name so he could go by Olive when he returned to in-person classes after the worst of the pandemic. It was just like horrible, Martin says. Olive was staying home from school 2 to 3 weeks, days a week. And when he did go, he spent most of the day in the counselor's office. Teachers were reportedly not understanding. That doesn't surprise me. That I have zero doubt the teachers in Iowa in these small towns were going out of their way to, and because I've met some of them, were going out of their way to help and encourage the teasing and the bullying and the persecution. He came home probably 3 times a week, Martin said. He went to the bathroom once and was cornered by 3 boys. When he started talking about it, it was kind of a no-brainer. Martin says it's been tremendous. They've seen their son's curiosity and love of learning blossom along with his confidence. He absolutely loves it. It used to be dread every day taking him to school. He just didn't want to go. The attitude here is if you're called a slur, just ignore it. Just shut up and take it. And that would never happen here. Everything from their lives is different these days. As the state leader of the LGBTQ plus nonprofit Free Mom Hugs in Iowa, Martin had to monitor their social media accounts for hate speech. As the state leader of the Free Iowa Free Mom Hugs in Minnesota, she doesn't. Even doctors have been more accepting in Iowa. Olive had to go to a therapy for over a year before could get their hormones, but they found he didn't need to fight so hard for care since moving to Minnesota. It's such a better environment for all of us, Martin said. We went ice skating in the middle of the day last week, and there were 2 or 3 other trans people there with Trans Joy sweatshirts on. You don't have to be afraid to wear that up here. God bless you. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad you're here. Yay. Go team go. I think this is great. But I'm going to tie this back to what I was saying earlier this hour after I come back from the break. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So I want to tie this story, and once again, a racket, Minnesota, great story. I'll link to it all a little bit later on. Fantastic story about acceptance in the state of Minnesota. But I'm going to take some time right now to make you sure you understand exactly why you need to vote. Because the Republican Party is at the point where they don't want individuality. They don't want states. They don't want individual rights. They basically want to force their agenda on everyone else. And you say to yourself, well, Minnesota is so different. We're not going to allow that. If Donald Trump was to win, let me go back in time a little bit. There's been this persistent story, namely because of the Bob Kroll letter he sent to the rank-and-file police, which was shared about in the post Derek Chauvin, where he talked about, you know, it was a good kill. I'm paraphrasing. But where he talked about what he wanted to do. And he led to this comment that he and the Senate Majority Leader at the time had contacted the White House and wanted them to place them to basically usurp the governor, dethrone him, Gazelka, this was Gazelka, dethrone the governor, install Gazelka as the pro tem governor, and then hand the reins over to, and I'll just add the title, Commandant Bob Kroll, and let him roll the tanks down the street of Minneapolis because I'll make them respect me, that sort of thing. And it did not go anywhere. And it's not really known how much that went, although there was, you know, we did find that Gazelka quote where he was talking to one of the TV stations and said, I had been in touch with the White House. There was this attempt that the Republicans, because they didn't like how things were going, they tried to basically, in the state and the right-leaning people, try to base, it sounds like it, at least this is the story, is that they tried to get the White House to dethrone Walz as the governor, install Gazelka as the governor pro tem, and give Bob Kroll the reins to the city. And the reality is that if you're a fool, if you don't think that that mentality still doesn't exist within the Republican Party today, that say Donald Trump does win, and we still have a Democratic trifecta in the state of Minnesota, and we pass laws, I guarantee you there'll be Republicans on the phone to the White House saying, they're disagreeing with you, you need to send in the troops. They'll pass laws that will say you have mandatory prosecution, and the county attorneys and the attorney general of the state say, nope, we're not going to do it. And they'll basically come in and usurp them and install people to charge people with crimes. I guarantee you that if Trump wins, that there are going to be Republicans in this state who are going to be begging him to send in the troops, roll in the troops, put martial law in place in Minneapolis, put the troops out there, and basically undo all the laws that we have done in this state. He'll do it under an executive order or a wartime act. He'll find some legalese that basically gets the Supreme Court to sign off on it. And then all of a sudden the rights of these people that have come to the state looking for sanctuary are in danger again. This election matters. It matters a hell of a lot to a hell of a lot of people. It is not just one issue. It's every freaking thing. It's democracy itself on the line. And I'll be damned if I'm going to spend the next 8 months not harping on this every single day. You want the United States of America to be a functioning democracy, then you have only one choice this election cycle, and that is a vote for Joe Biden. Because chaos comes to Frogtown if the orange frog gets in there. Native Roots Radio is up next. We're back tomorrow. Have a good one. Till then, see ya.